You know, the truth book, that's my name for the Bible, says you do not know when your end will come. That you don't know, but you can know where you're going. You can know where you're going to spend eternity. And I've done investigative reporting over the years of people that have died from a medical viewpoint, left their body, gone to heaven, and been told their time wasn't up, and been sent back for a purpose on planet Earth.
Dr. Eby, tell me some other things that might be of interest in what you actually observed with your own senses in heaven.
Well, one of the things, of course, that excited me tremendously was the beauty of the music. Let's call it an unlimited vibration or set of waves, such as down here. It's not based upon a mathematical equation such as all earthly music is. I said, who composed this music, Jesus? It's so absolutely unfathomable. Well, he said, didn't you read my book? I told you in my book, I make everything. And I make it for my pleasure and for the pleasure of my family. So he said, I'm the author, I'm the composer. Well, that was one thing. Another thing that amazed me was the beauty of an aroma in heaven, such as I had not up to that time ever smelled on earth. I smelled it twice here since. An aroma which is a perfume so absolutely heavenly that it had to be made by God and for God. And I asked him, what is this composition of this aroma that's just saturating everything here? And he didn't answer. It was later when I was back on earth that I asked him again to tell me, and he said, it's in the book. And I started from Genesis to Revelation and found the answer. It's partly for the benefit of those listening, the prayers of the saints. To me, this is one of the most beautiful little gifts that God's given that we don't generally recognize. That's the sweet-smelling savor, which is in God's nostrils, is partly, at least, according to Revelation 5 and 8 chapter, the prayers of the saints, which he has distilled, so to speak, into a perfect perfume just for him to enjoy, because it represents the obedience of his children.
Is everyone's paradise the same?
He said, didn't you read in my book that I never make two people totally alike? And he said, therefore I gave them the desires of their hearts and the abilities and skills to do what they could with those desires. And he said, up here I have completed them, so everybody's paradise up here is individual. Well, I said, how would I get to see anybody? We said, you've already tested out the mind that I gave you up here, and it's instantaneous. If you want to visit anybody, or they you, you just think, and there you are together.
So let me see if I can understand this. If you, let's suppose that you are an artist.
Uh-huh.
Your paradise might be some of the greatest works of art the world has ever known in your valley. Is that what you're saying?
Precisely. It would be of an artistic nature far superior to anything you could have even dreamed of down here. If you're a musician, obviously you'd want your pleasant place of abode to reflect music. And you go right down through all the categories which he places in the human concept down here.
Thank you, Dr. Eby. We'll have you back later to hear about your experience in hell.
Instantly, I felt myself just plummeted with this same speed which cannot be calibrated to the center of the earth. And there I landed with a thud inside of a 4x4, 6 foot high hole inside of solid rock. The immediate impression was, which would be accountable to our human senses, absolute cold, absolute blackness, absolute silence. I quickly said to the mind again, Jesus, explain, this is different than I learned in church. He said, my son, I want you to know that the present hell is a holding tank for the unsaved souls pending the eventual great white throne judgment. He said, God is not there. These people that elect to go to hell do not want him to interfere with their programs or their plans. They just tell him in one way or another, stay out of our lives, stay out of our way. And he said, because my Heavenly Father said that he will give the desires of the heart to all of his creatures, he grants them by placing them then in a holding tank apart from him until that day when they shall be called forth from wherever they are to be judged before the great white throne. Well, I tell you, the instant I landed in this place down there, it's absolute terror, absolute horror. Of course, we're in a spirit body. It cannot be frozen. It cannot be burned. It simply exists with thousands of sensations, which this nervous system we own down here couldn't convey. It's absolutely hell. There's no other reason. I was surrounded by demons. The demons seemed to be so excited. They were doing a fancy rock and roll dance in honor of my getting there, and they said to me instantly, all thousand of them, said, we got you here, you'll never get out.
They didn't realize you were just there for a short period.
No, they thought I was a real sinner. And they said, we got you. You believed our deceptions while you were on earth. You could have, right this moment, be with the Lamb of God in heaven if you had believed him. But we told you he didn't exist, and you just fell for it. Now we got you. The stench there was absolutely indescribably horrible. It's that of dying, dead flesh. And of course, their boss, Satan, is the captain of their hosts, and he is the author of death, so you'd expect it to stink. Jesus called them unclean spirits, and boy, they are. Well, I don't have time to go through all of that either, but they told me in no uncertain terms that they had practically won the world at that time to Satan, because of the fact that the people that God had created on earth were so disinterested in pursuing a knowledge of him, a worship of him, that all they had to do was to make some deceptions, and most of the people followed them. Well, I wanted to get out of there, and I screamed and yelled and realized that there's no communication from the present hell to heaven. It's a place of isolation, as Jesus said, and if it hadn't been for his mind being placed on mine so we could communicate, it would have been more horrible even. Suddenly I'm snatched out of there. Suddenly I find myself standing before this great white throne which St. John described in the book of Revelation. It is up there. It was when he saw it. It's not used yet. On it was a tremendous personage. The throne looked to be about 3 stories high and appropriately wide. The personage was surrounded in a mist. I said quickly to Jesus' voice on my mind, I said, Jesus, I want to look into the loving eyes of my Heavenly Father. I want to see that tremendous amount of love that would cause him to sacrifice you as my lamb. And Jesus immediately replied in voice. He said, my son, didn't you read the book? I told you in your present form you could not look upon God and live. He's too powerful. It would just extinguish you. Instead, you're here to be edified and to be educated, not to be exterminated. And he said he has surrounded himself with this mist to protect you. Suddenly, out of the mist came a hand with a book in it. I could read right through the pages of the book to the back cover, we'd call it that, where in Hebrew was written the words, the Lamb's Book of Life. Suddenly, another finger came out of the mist, started turning the pages with lightning speed. The voice on my mind said, my son, he's looking for your name. Remember, I expunged it for 2 minutes so that you could experience what it is to be a sinner. And sure enough, he got to the end of the book, closed it with a clap of thunder, and said, your book is not in my family album. There's only one other family. That's the family of Satan. Depart. If I could just transmit to an audience at any time the horrible sensation that was mine when I heard God Almighty say to me, depart.
Dr. Eby, when you share what you've shared with us this week, perhaps maybe one-on-one, and the individual declines the offer of eternal life, what goes on inside of you?
Well, of course, I'm disappointed in the apparent human failure of my communicating adequately. On the other hand, the Lord has told us, told me personally when I was with him in Lazarus' tomb. When I asked him, I said, why would anybody believe me? Well, he said, that isn't the question to ask. He said, I'll ask you my question. Did they believe me when I came to earth?